And hello, everyone. It's Stephen Trammell with
Todd Reynolds. Good evening.
Yeah, coming with another edition of our podcast for the week of October the 11th. And this is a difficult podcast.
Yeah. It's been a crazy, 48 hours now? I mean, a hard weekend for the Mountain View family for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, this is going to continue to be a difficult thing with the loss of our brother, Kevin Page. He was just alive. I mean,
yeah, and full of life, full of hope.
He'd come over to the house and visit.
I mean, yeah.
Call, text, come out and play sports.
Yeah.
Talk about church stuff.
Super active in the church.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
preach the gospel.
It's like, good spirit.
I mean, you'd see when I'd ask some people to preach, like you'd think I'd, you know, hung them upside down by their toenails or something.
Yeah.
But yeah. Kevin was like, I've been waiting on this.
Yeah. Like, you know, the church I used to preach at, we'd do the last Sunday night of the month and someone could sign up to preach. And like, sometimes it would just be blank. No, guys, I meant for you to actually sign up for that. But like Kevin would have his name probably like just start writing it for every month of the year. Like, go ahead and just lock them all in.
No, he was ready to go. I mean, and that kind of willingness and spirit, you don't see in a lot of young people.
Yeah, no. And just, I mean, he wanted to do that. I mean, he probably had some desire for, I don't even know, some secular education. Certainly he was pursuing college degree.
Yeah, he was figuring that out. But the constant was
he wanted
Jesus.
I mean, that's right. And preaching the word of God.
And that's what you want out of every kid. Not that you necessarily want them to preach or people have the ability to do so, but just a desire to, I want to be effective.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be successful. I want to do something. And he was that way with the kingdom of God.
Like, yeah.
He just wanted to be busy doing those things.
Yeah. And I think we do. I mean, we do need some bench strength, like in preaching. Like, we do need some more young men to have that spirit. And it was rare. And that might make it even a little harder for some of us to understand his early and untimely departure from this life. Hard to understand that when, you know, in our mind we could think about him preaching, you know, and doing work in God's kingdom here on earth. But God had another plan.
Well, and these are the times when, you know, you look at Christianity as the only thing that really could make sense of any of this.
Yeah.
Left to ourselves, there's just blame.
Yeah.
And frustration and anger and bitterness and disappointment and any number of things. But with God, he can take like the worst situations we find ourselves in, and we've got not a silver lining, but we've got the blazing sun of a new day around the corner, and it's the only way you can get through these things without just being just broken.
Right. And the thing is, because of the reality of eternity and our understanding of Christianity and the reality of eternity, like, this life is just like a split second, you know, even if you live a full life of 80 years, right? But knowing that mentally, intellectually, like, it's still, it is not helpful always, because you just have pain and you have loss and you have a hole.
Yeah, and we'll talk about some scripture tonight that may just help in these type situations. But it's just weird how you're dealing with something that's very emotional,
right,
and God combats that emotion with truth.
Right.
And, you know, truth can, it's not going to take away those emotions, and you don't necessarily want them to.
Yeah, the emotions are fine.
But truth can augment, and like Paul said, and I mentioned this morning in the lesson, we can sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. So
yeah, that's right.
It just dampens the grief a little bit, because there's some truth there that we can hold on to, that like when you know, you don't have to feel as bad. And I'll say this, I don't always know what to say in a lot of things, because, you know, when somebody's going through marriage problems or whatever, I mean, you don't necessarily have to have experienced the same trauma that people have gone through,
right,
to help them. You always feel kind of bad. It's the same way in this situation. Like, how am I going to get up and say something to people that are hurting about the loss of their son when my children are alive? But I think as a minister of the gospel, you've experienced it too. You just kind of got to get over that a little bit at a young age, because when you're preaching the word, you got to kind of cover the bases and be right there.
Right.
And it really isn't you. And it's not like you've got, you know, years of experience of this specific thing to go through. I mean, the book is designed to help us through everything life throws at us. And so we just got to know the right page to turn to.
Yeah.
And can find something to help. And the one we've selected for tonight is John chapter 11. And I mentioned a verse from that this morning, but the whole text really is an intersection of man's just saddest experience in life, which right is the loss of someone you love,
right,
with the glory and greatness of God.
Right.
And when you intersect the worst that man has with God and his kindness and love, guess what happens?
It's going to end good, but there's going to be some sorrow and some sadness before the good.
Yeah. But it's like God can take the most broken thing and make it better.
Yeah, and heal it.
And he will. John chapter 11 is a long chapter, and we're not going to take the time to read it. But do you want to kind of paraphrase what's going on a little bit just to get us started?
Well, it's the story of Lazarus and his death. And Jesus hesitates purposely in coming to him, because initially he wasn't dead. He was just sick. And, you know, they send word, hey, Jesus, and Jesus intentionally stays away from the hometown Bethany of Lazarus and Mary and Martha.
And he wasn't a random person.
No, it definitely wasn't a random person. I mean, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, I did a sermon one time called The Family That Jesus Loved, because the text says in another place, like, Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It says here,
verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus.
Sorry, I hadn't read that specific verse.
No. In verse 3, Lord, he whom you love is ill. So
right,
there was something special about that. I think Jesus in the flesh appreciated the company of people. Like when he experienced life, he experienced the emotions of life, the sadness, the love, all of that. And so
the companionship.
Yeah. And so when somebody's just gone, it was gone from Jesus' life. So is not the random person coming up saying, hey, heal me.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Your buddy is sick now.
Yeah. Your friend. And that's what Jesus is going to say when he says that he's asleep, and he's kind of speaking figuratively, and he knows about, you know, what miracle he's going to perform and how God's going to be glorified. But he's like, our friend Lazarus is asleep. So he loved them. He called them his friend, and it was pretty awesome though. Like, he was a friend of Jesus.
Yeah. He had to be a good person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. We don't have like any insight into his character, but it had to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, insight as far as some narrative discussion about it.
Well, and you're not fooling Jesus with an outward show of piety.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Jesus knows your heart. So he could say, behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile. Like, he can see the character. And so when he says, hey, be a friend of mine, he saw something in Lazarus.
I wonder if there was something just kind of different about him. That's totally speculative. But throughout the Gospels, we have a lot of dialogue between Mary and Martha. Like, we don't have any record of any words that Lazarus spoke. Now, obviously, we're not going to speak any here, but like when Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10 and Martha's serving and Mary's listening to Jesus, you know, Lazarus, a man of few words, it would seem.
And here's the thing. Jesus could have stopped all this.
Like,
we wouldn't have had the second part of John 11 if Jesus had just gone when everybody said, hey, Lazarus, he's not doing good.
Yeah.
he could have gone and just fixed everything. And that was one of the struggles that they're going to have later on in the chapter. It's like, man, Lord, if you'd been here,
yeah,
you could have done something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that lets us know that there's some value in our suffering and there's some purpose in it. And what do you think that is?
It's hard to answer. I mean, there's
just in this context,
there's a number of things, but I mean, Jesus tells us in the text, it's ultimately going to be to God's glory.
Yeah. Yeah. God's going to be glorified. And the pain that Mary and Martha feel, like the acuteness of it. And that's kind of where I was going. I mean, I was definitely thinking about God just being glorified, but I was also thinking about like, they're going to be in even more joy at receiving him back after having lost him. Like sometimes you got to go deeper to hit rock bottom to then soar with the eagles or be on the mountaintop later. And you will just appreciate that so much when you realize it.
Well, and you can read this and, you know, you might be thinking, oh, this is great. Good story. But Kevin's not coming back. He's not getting Lazarus treatment.
Right.
But there are a number of good people in the Bible, in the New Testament.
Right.
Followers of Jesus, Christians, that they just start dying off.
Right.
I mean, James,
yep,
killed by Herod.
Yep.
You know, Stephen martyred. Historically, all the apostles killed untimely for the sake of the gospel. Like, when you start to think about what's the purpose in any of this, I mean, wouldn't it be better for them to have preached until their dying day?
Right. Well, the Apostle John, I think, did, but...
Yeah, but for everybody the most part, else, like, why would you not
11 keep, out of 12.
Why would you not keep them all together, right?
Right,
and
right.
just show the glory of God through that. But it's like God allowed and
right.
willed those things to happen.
Right.
Because you think about Stephen's death, it wasn't done, and God turns around like, oh, I didn't know this was happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus is standing at the right hand of God, like God's down there watching it happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so,
Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.
Like God was allowing this thing, very aware.
Right.
And so on some level, God allows those things to happen. So I don't want you to think like, oh, you know, Lazarus got out easy. There's a lot of people that died and they didn't come back.
Right.
And they didn't get raised and they died untimely. And really they had a lot more to offer the world.
Yeah,
but I think one of the keys. I mean, if I just had to say one thing, people die for the living, right? People die early,
yep.
so that we feel the fragility and brevity of life, and we can do something about it.
Yeah.
I mean, to where today's the day of salvation,
right?
You know, none of us are promised tomorrow,
yeah.
And so
wake up.
If the guy knew the hour in which the thief was coming, he'd be ready.
Yeah.
But and Jesus said, I'm coming at an hour you don't expect. And that typically means at the end of our lives. So when you see that, it kind of shocks you into action. Like, oh man.
Right.
I should be ready.
Yeah. And I think that's definitely true. And it's something that can be a benefit. But that's still, I mean, I think it's all right, true. But that's our perspective, right? Like, because I think there's this whole other side of this where God's perspective, like with Stephen in Acts 6, maybe was, look, I just want him to come home to be with me. Like, you think about how much we love our children as their father, and that we just know that that's real. But even like my sons now, both obeyed the gospel. Well, they're still my sons, but like they're God's children now. Like, and God can bring them home. Like he really, he's the father that has the trump card over me. Like I'm a father, an earthly father, and so. I mean, I think it's both. I think there's some benefit for those who are alive and remain, but God's the Father. He wants to be with all of us.
Well, and that's why verses are so weird, like, you know, precious in the sight of the Lord or the death of the saints.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, well, there's nothing precious about death. There's nothing, no one's here saying this is the most exciting thing.
Right.
And yet, like you said, from God's perspective, it's a victory.
Yeah, I mean, it's just be like we, when our kids get older and move away or whatever, which we haven't experienced yet, but like coming home for Thanksgiving, that's like a big deal. Coming home for Christmas, that's like a big deal. Coming home for some visit when you've been gone for a year or two. But like, that's what God wants us to do ultimately is like, it's like you're coming home. And that's just a hard reality, but like that's I mean, it's not a hard reality. We all, like, in Christianity, it's all based on that. But when it's premature or untimely, unexpected, it's just hard reality. But I think God is kind of like with Acts chapter 7 with Stephen. Like, he's watching over it and receiving it. And I even think, like, I was thinking about Luke chapter 16. Like, to me... And let me just say this quickly. Maybe it'll take it a minute, but like when you jump into a swimming pool, like you change into a different, I don't know what it is, but like you splash into the water and it's just different than the air. Like I get the feeling like Kevin is going at high speed in this truck and he hits this tree and then like his spirit just like keeps going forward like you would go into a body of water, but then he's going up into heaven, and then he's got, you know, no more handicap, no more disability, no more like inability where, you know, he walking and running is a challenge. Like it's just this freedom, and then God's like God's behind all that.
Yeah, and that's what's so weird about this text in John 11. Like Jesus knows what's happening to Lazarus because, you know, people tell him, oh, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. Jesus knew he was sick.
Right.
Because Jesus tells him when he's dead.
Yeah.
Right. Verse 14, Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died.
Right.
And he wasn't there, but yet he knew.
Yeah,
right?
He just 100% knew.
So it's like this event was orchestrated by Jesus for Jesus's purpose.
And to God's glory.
And here's the thing. I mean, this is what you're saying. It's kind of a hard thing. He knew it was going to make people sad.
Yeah.
He knew it was going to cause grief.
Like really sad.
But God's purpose, God's glory kind of trumped, like you said, trumped that sadness.
It's a hard thing.
It is a hard thing.
I mean, I can't even imagine.
But it's like God caused the sadness of all those people here, but it ended up being a better thing for everybody involved.
Right. Right.
Like we're benefiting from it today.
Right.
And so after he tells him that he's died, Thomas says to the fellow disciples, well, let's also go that we may die with him. You know, they're thinking, well, this is just a disaster.
Yeah, right. That's one of those statements that Thomas makes. You know, we remember his doubt, but in this case, he's like, look, I'm going to the end with Jesus. It's kind of not as relevant to our topic, but it's cool that Thomas had that faith.
Yeah, so I'll pick up reading in verse 17. It says, Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. And Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been there, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there, but it's awesome when Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And I mean, that's what we believe about Kevin. He will rise.
That's what we believe about all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, could you imagine the fear of life? The fear of everything. Fear of driving, fear of your health, fear of... I mean, there's death around every corner.
Right.
And yet, when you see Jesus saying, hey, your brother's going to rise again. Yeah. When you see Jesus raising people from the dead.
Right.
You see God raising Jesus from the dead.
Right.
That's inspiring. And I mean, we're banking our existence on that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, our soul depends on it. But as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if we have hoped in Jesus in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But we haven't just hoped in him in this life, right? We've hoped in him in the next life.
Yeah. And he says, whoever believes in me shall never die.
Yeah.
And what that means is this death isn't really death.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a death of our body.
Right.
But it's not the final death, the second death, that is the ultimate separation from God,
yeah,
fully and finally. And that's the one that you need to be afraid of.
Yeah.
Right? And, don't worry about him. It can kill the body. Worry about the second thing.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to articulate. I probably didn't do a good job of that. But like at that moment when the spirit of Kevin exited his body in death, like I just see that spirit being alive and united with Christ. You know, Luke 16 says that the Lazarus died and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. You know, I just see kind of that separation of the spirit from the body, but just, it's not death. It's physical death, but spiritually, just like you just said, it really isn't death. It's just this spirit being united with God.
Yeah. It's like our mortal body groans to put on immortality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah, exactly.
You just are like,
yeah,
this
Second
is
Corinthians
not,
five.
Yeah. This is just not what it's all about.
Yeah.
And when you're finally freed of those things, even the creation subjected to futility,
yeah,
it's like
yeah,
everything, eight. God's going to recreate everything.
Yep.
And this mortal can't put on immortality.
Right, right.
And so there's just got to be that painful moment of separation where then things can be remade.
Right.
And you got to believe it. Man, you got to believe it. And that's what Jesus says. If you believe it, do you believe this?
Yeah.
And she's like, I believe you're the Christ.
Yeah. And her faith is awesome. She's like, I believe we'll be raised in the last day. Like, I have 100% belief in that ultimate resurrection. But she still hadn't entered in her mind exactly that, like, hey, guess what? We can get this done right now.
Yeah. And, you know, Kevin believed that.
Yeah, that's right.
There was not a doubt there that he believed Jesus was a Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world. And that's what Jesus said. You believe this, you're not really dead.
Right. Yeah, why don't we read a few more? What verse did you go through?
Yeah, 27? Pick up at 28.
Yeah, okay, 28. I'm going to read like down through 35 probably, but we'll just see. John 11, 28. And when she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she arose quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews then, who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? Then they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Let me read 36 and 37. And so the Jews were saying, Behold how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of him who was blind have kept this man also from dying? So Jesus meets Martha first and then Mary. And what do you get from these verses with Mary?
Well, here's one thing I take away. You know, people have come to console her, like verse 31, but really the only person that can really console you is Jesus.
Yeah.
Because you got a bunch of people that have come, there are a bunch of people that got some things to say, but the only person that really is going to do anything is Jesus.
Yeah. And you remember Mary was the one listening to Jesus in Luke chapter 10. I mean, when she hears that Jesus is here, she is just booking it. I mean, right. she's like, oh man, like this is who I need to go to. And that's, you know, that's the reality. Just like you said, I mean, I'm just saying, like, physically she was moving quickly, and emotionally that's where her hope was placed.
Well, and it's where it's got to be, because I know people have expressed to me, like, what can we do for the pages? Well, there's nothing you can do.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to bring him back.
Right.
And that's where the sadness is. And, you know, we can help with some peripheral things. We can do whatever. But ultimately, we are powerless in these situations.
Yeah, we are. I mean, a hug, a kind word, or just a moment of silence together. I mean, there are things that you can do, but as you're articulating, like, you can't make it all better. Like, only God can make it all better. And he has chosen to do that in his time. And we've got to wait on that.
Yeah. And it's so sad. But Jesus takes us through this experience. Again, going back to you said at the first part of the podcast, Jesus is kind of leading this, right? He's asking questions. He's asking for their faith. He's going to kind of encourage them. He's not saying exactly anything, right? He's letting them talk. Mm-hmm. Mary's saying to the Lord, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Jesus could have come in there and be like, "Guys, it's going to be okay. I'm going to take care of everything."
Right.
But he's allowing this period of grief. And why do you think Jesus does that? I mean, why is he like just letting this play out, knowing what he's going to know from the beginning?
Well, I mean, there's a lot that you could say about that. But I think as I see this unfold, like Mary comes and she's weeping. And when you see someone who is just like sincerely and deeply grieving and they're expressing that in weeping, it's a moving thing to behold that. And then Jesus sees it and he sees all of the people coming with her and they're weeping. And then, you know, you just got this amazing reality where Jesus sees them weeping and he just weeps. And you say, like, why would Jesus do that instead of come in and be the superstar? Like, I mean, I think God wants us. What was their conclusion when they saw Jesus weeping? And you just try to visualize, like, the Son of God, like, weeping. Like, that's not just, like, he got a little choked up, you know, when he was, you know, giving a Lord's Supper talk or something. Like, he is weeping. And God's love was on display.
Yeah.
Like, it was a long answer for me to get there, but like, why did Jesus do that instead of coming and be the superstar and save the day, like, right out of the gate? And why have them suffering? Well, I mean, like, God wanted to show us his love, and Jesus just straight up weeping, sincerely hurting because they were hurting, and them seeing that. I mean, and then that's what they conclude. They're like, man, Jesus really loved Lazarus. Behold how he loved this man.
He's sharing in their sorrows.
Yeah.
And that's just the thing we've got to understand. God is not coming to prevent every sorrow.
Right.
God's not going to prevent crying. God's going to wipe away every tear.
Yeah.
And so...
But he'll even shed those tears with us.
That's right.
Before we get to the point where he just says, "I'm going to wipe it all away."
But he's allowing us to go through heartache.
Yeah.
And there to help us on the other side.
Yeah, that's right.
He's not preventing all those things. And again, I mean, in fairness to God, death was not God's plan.
Right.
Death was a preventable thing that we walked into.
Right. I mean,
as a matter of fact, God said, "The day you eat of it, you'll surely die." And we thought, well, it's worth it.
Yeah.
To kind of take that risk.
Yeah.
And we've borne that burden. And so, you know, people tend to, in times like this, I'm not saying anybody in this particular situation, but people of the world can look at that and say, "Hey, there's no way God would let this happen. Death was something we agreed to."
Right.
Right. We made that covenant with God. But we're going to break it and pay the price. And so we inherited the rest of that from Adam, in the sense of not personal sin, but the fallen world outside of the Garden of Eden.
Right.
And that personal relationship with God has been severed. And so we're experiencing the pain of the fall.
That's right.
And this is one of those things. So lest we say, "Hey, God, could you not have kept this man from dying?" In a sense, it's appointed for man once to die.
Right.
And that appointment was on us generically.
Right.
So God could have kept us all from dying, but then he would be dishonest because he said, "The day you eat of it, you're going to die."
Yeah, right. And we are the ones that made that choice.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the choice to sin.
Yeah, so we're just again, we're in a world where everybody that's listening to this is going to die.
Yeah.
You're going to die. And God can prolong our life. God can lessen suffering. God can heal sickness. But God is not going to do away with the fact that we're going to die. Right? And it was not done in Jesus' time. Where Jesus is going to raise Lazarus here, but Lazarus is going to die again.
Right.
Lazarus didn't just live forever.
Yeah, I always wondered what it was like for Lazarus. So when he came back, he was like, I got to do this all over again. This death thing.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, maybe God let him have an easy path. I don't know.
The weirdest part to me was how the Pharisees in the next chapter, they wanted to kill him again because it was like, this was too much for everybody to know Jesus raised him from the dead. Yeah, so they wanted to kill Lazarus again, be like, nope, see, he's dead.
Well, Jesus, thanks for putting a target on my back.
Well, I mean, that was just, what a weird thing that you think you could kill someone that just came back from the dead. Jesus could just keep him coming back if he wanted.
That's right. That's right.
Every time you killed him. But you know, God, even though we signed up for it, back to your original point, even though death is our construct, our agreement, our penalty, God is bearing that with us.
Yeah, 100%.
With his arm around them,
kind
of weeping.
And the language in 33, you know, where it says he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, like God's heart is touched.
Yeah. So let's pick up in verse 38, because it says, after they commented, like, couldn't Jesus have done something? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there'll be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. We've read the story a number of times, I'm sure, but man, every time you read it, you just can't help but think, that's wild.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just an awesome story about that just power over death. And
it's not like the weird healings that you see today in some places. And again, I'm not trying to knock other churches or things, but I've been to those. People being healed of things you can't see necessarily, right, or being healed of. Right. Okay, Jesus didn't just come that day and like gave Lazarus CPR, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean he's,
it's not like
he's
my back pain's gone.
He's deteriorating,
right?
To the point where there's decay.
Yeah,
he's not just saying, "Hey, come out." Lazarus comes out. He's being made again. Yeah. Like God is remaking organs, restarting the heart, fixing the skin.
Well, I mean the whole thing. Yeah,
the whole thing, right?
Oh, damn it!
This isn't just.
This is not biology 101. I mean, this is advanced topics for God only.
And fixing whatever was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, he's not beset with that same illness.
Yeah. And 4 days, I mean, like, just for our one or two King James Version listeners, Miss June, if you're out there, like, the King James, like, Martha's like, behold, he stinketh.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, this is the...
Yeah, like, why are you wanting to do it? They still don't even understand.
The decaying process has started to do its thing.
They still don't understand. And I think, you know, for non-Christians and unbelievers, they don't understand how we can hope and hang on in any of these situations.
Yeah.
But for somebody that believes, man, when Jesus is getting close to that tomb, you're like, dude, there's something
good's about to blow it out of the box.
Something good's about to happen.
Yeah.
But, man, it's still such a struggle to see past the hurt and the pain,
right,
to just, Lord, what can you do right now? He's like, did I not tell you you're going to see the glory of God if you believed?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you told me you believed, but now you're acting like I'm not going to do anything.
Yeah. I love how Jesus would have had that dynamic with people where they were his friends, they were his followers. He loved them, they loved him, but he still kind of has to say, it's like, wait a second, God, I just said this 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, and you can't read an attitude into this, but I mean,
he said, that's right.
Did I not tell you?
Yeah, no, I know.
I mean, you just... Like, let me do my thing.
Yeah, it was probably like one of those things, like, Jesus is God. And it's like, man just doesn't think like God. And so when Jesus tells us what God thinks as God, then it's like, he's got to tell them again because they just don't think that way.
Well, and everybody, every person up to this point has basically said, oh man, God, you missed your chance.
Yeah, maybe you could have done something. If you could heal a blind man, you could have kept him maybe. From dying.
Lord, you could have, if you had been here, you could have stopped him.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, don't you see that if he had the power to keep us alive in the first place, to heal us in the first place, then he's got the power over the one thing that nobody can do.
Yeah, maybe he can go even bigger, which Jesus, of course, did.
And he did. And I mean, so there's a number of things to this miracle that are just so compelling. But I mean, if you ever doubted the power of Jesus, go read John 11.
Yeah.
Because it says in the next verse, many of the Jews who had come with Mary and seen what he did believed in him.
Yeah. Because it was, and that was part of the problem with the Pharisees. Like, it was an indisputable miracle. That I was extremely powerful. I kind of want to just comment quickly when Jesus says unbind him and let him go. I mean, that was a physical thing. Yeah, he was walking around like a mummy. But I mean, that's what Jesus will say for us spiritually, like before Satan, like unbind him, take your hands off of him, and let my people go. I mean, he's giving us that freedom from the power of Satan, and he's giving us that freedom from the power of death itself. And you know, that's just the beauty of who God is and who Jesus is and what he can do.
It's a story of the saddest experience a human can go through.
Right.
But it turns into the most amazing thing.
Right.
This reuniting.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine the hugs and the just the conversation, you know?
It's like, what?
What was it like? Yeah. What happened? Yeah. You know, just that, if you could just experience that with one that you've lost.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, you will.
Well, and that's the thing for us. I mean, kind of the ultimate lesson, part of why we want to do a podcast on John 11 is that reunification is God's plan for all of his people. You know, for Mary and Martha, they only had to wait 4 days. I mean, for reunification with Kevin, you know, there's going to be a longer waiting period. But just knowing the reality, well, that's the thing. I mean, yeah.
It's just a vapor.
Well, exactly. But that's still, I mean, I don't know. That I think that's true. That's absolutely true. But it's still, it feels long, and it will be longer than 4 days.
Yeah. But just what an amazing thing. That I love verse 48. If we let him go on like this, everybody will believe in him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, this is one of those conundrums for the Pharisees. They're like, we don't know what to do. We got to figure something out. Somebody do something.
Well, and here's the thing. A lot of people have believed in him.
Well, that's true. I mean,
here 2,000 years later, they're plotting to kill him to try to stop this whole thing. And it's dominated the world. I mean, yeah, the religious landscape.
That's right.
The name of Jesus is everywhere, every tongue, every nation, everyone under heaven. And it's because of things like this.
Yeah,
like people believe it.
Right.
They saw it. They wrote about it. Even his antagonist saw it.
Right.
He didn't just come back and say, hey, guess what? I erased this guy. Everybody was there. They came for a funeral.
Yeah.
And it ends up being a celebration.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the people that saw it, I mean, those people were there when they put Lazarus in the tomb. Those people were there the 2, 3, 4 days since he had died, grieving and helping Mary and Martha through their bereavement. I mean, their testimony was going to be extremely powerful. It's like, no, he was dead. I know he was dead. It wasn't 24 hours, 48, 96. Like, he's dead for 144 hours. And, you know, here he is alive.
Yeah. And one of the things,
too, 96. My math was bad. Sorry.
It's not like you're a CPA or anything.
I mean, it should be able to count.
In Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, do you remember when it says many who were in the tombs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Came I thought about that a few minutes ago.
And went and appeared to many in the city.
Yeah.
And just thinking about the power of God that, like, released Jesus,
right?
Like, touched everybody else. It, like, released everybody else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, I remember somebody saying earlier that if Jesus hadn't said Lazarus by name, Lazarus come out, other people would have come out. Like yeah. when he just says, come out, when he says, come forth, like all the people in the graves could have come back.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, we're just going to limit it to Lazarus right now.
Right.
But there's a day in which that power of God is going to be unbound, unchecked around the whole earth, and yeah, everybody's coming back.
Yeah.
And that's really what this story is about. It's not about Lazarus. It's about how we are Lazarus and our loved ones are Lazarus. And Jesus is alive, still compassionate, still concerned.
Right.
Still going to let us die and go through some heartache.
Yeah.
But then, like, Jesus's moment of greatest weakness ended up being his greatest victory. That's going to be ours too.
Yeah.
Like, this is Satan's thing. Satan's thing is death.
Right.
But Jesus triumphed over that. And so it really is like the best Satan's got. And then God just says, I'm going to undo it all.
Yeah. The best Satan's got and the worst that man has to deal with. And then Jesus allowing the suffering to happen, but then ultimately bringing this victory that is just overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, you were looking up something. What you got?
Well, the verse you said, John 5:28-29, you know, this is relevant to us. This is relevant to Kevin. Jesus said, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth, those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. But it's just what you said pretty much. I just thought of the verse, but like everyone's going to come forth and it's going to be a resurrection of life for the righteous. And Kevin certainly was one of God's servants, one of God's sons, one of his chosen ones that, you know, will be resurrected in life.
Well, let's be honest. You couldn't do a podcast like this about everybody.
Oh, man. No, yeah, you're right. And if you're not a part of the Mountain View family and you don't know the Page family and Kevin Page, I mean, like, this was a solid, young, godly, Christian young man.
Yeah. When I sat down and talked to him, it was about a sermon. You know, it wasn't exactly. let me correct you about, you know, the kind of life you've been living and you need to make some better choices or better friends.
Yeah. And he would even ask, like, what can I do to make it better? Or, like, you know, what kind of illustrations or, you know, like, it just, his heart.
And he wouldn't just ask me. He'd ask everybody.
Yeah. Well, he just had a heart to serve God and was like, you know, I mean, I think he just had his 19th birthday, but I mean, like, on a maturity level, he was like, I don't even know. I mean, I'm 46, so maybe he was like 52.
Well, he was more mature than I was at that age.
Oh, shoot, yeah. But I mean, he's more mature than a lot of, you know, grown men many years his senior.
Yeah, so, you know, Lazarus was the kind of person that Jesus raised from the dead. Kevin's the kind of person that Jesus is going to raise from the dead.
Yeah.
And when we talk about the resurrection, everybody's going to be resurrected in a sense, but some are going to be resurrected and they don't want to be resurrected. They're going to have a more heightened experience of God's punishment
and judgment. Yeah.
But we're going to be given a more enhanced experience in heaven where Kevin's at peace and at rest, but he hasn't fully realized everything God has intended, when everything is made new. But, you can at least have a conversation like this. Honestly, like this is the end you want to have.
Yeah, that's right.
Where people can sit around and say, you know, I wish more people were like that.
Yeah, I know. And we were like a bunch of the young people were at Jason's house, and there was probably like 20 young people there last night, and like everyone like just has positive experiences that they can relate about, you know, sometime they were with Kevin and they said or did something, or he said or did something, and it's just like, you know, serving God, bringing him glory, you know, honoring him, you know, so that's just who he was.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure that's how Jesus felt about Lazarus. Like,
yeah,
you're worth pulling out of here. And
yeah,
just praise God that we serve the same one, same Jesus.
That's right.
And he loves us just the same. He sees our tears, our grief, and just continue prayers for their family and just encouragement that this is why this stuff matters and it's serious.
Yeah. And for us, it matters that we just continue on in our service. I mean, the fact that he's gone to glory, that he's, you know, in line for his crown, like for us to do that, we've got to keep going. We can't stop. We've got to press on in our service and finish the course.
Yeah. Well, Todd, appreciate your thoughts tonight in a hard week, and just pray for everybody and God's comfort and grace.
Yeah, that's right.
And see us through the hard times. Yeah.
Blessings and comfort to the Page family and to the Mountain View family.
Yeah, thanks.
God bless.